The story of Eldad and Medad is an intriguing one. It consists of a humble leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, a concerned and loyal student, Yehoshua ben Nun, and two seemingly rebellious, overzealous, and presumptuous prophets, Nevi'im, named Eldad and Medad. And Eldad and Medad were of the 70 elders, the Shivim Zakenim, chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu through a lottery. And the Pasuk states that these 70 Zakenim, prophesied just one time in their life. Vayered Hashem be'anan, Hashem appeared somehow, he came down in the cloud. Vayedabe alav, he spoke to them. Vayetzam in aruach asher alav, and they were overcome by this spirit, this nevuah. Vayiten al shivim ish hazakenim, and he gave to these 70 elders, vayhi kenoach aleim aruach, vayisnabu, and when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, v'lo yosifu, no longer, not beyond that time. Once and that's it. And after this episode, while the other Zakenim returned home, Eldad and Medad remained near the Mishkan, expecting to prophesy even more. They wanted more Nevuah. And in fact, some of Farshim say that they prepared themselves, they were making themselves for more Nevuah. They prepared themselves, they readied themselves and merited to experience further Nevuah. And the Farshim are troubled as to how Eldad and Medad had the audacity to expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would grant them more Nevuah. They're only given permission just once by Moshe Rabbeinu to have that first round of Nevuah. Their expectations reeked of arrogance and conceit and haughtiness. What gave them the right to stay around longer than the older or the other members of this prestigious group of 70? The Chida makes one suggestion. Moshe Rabbeinu had incredible humility, incredible anivus, as exhibited twice in the Parsha. Firstly, in this very episode of Eldad and Medad, Moshe Rabbeinu had no issue whatsoever with them prophesizing, with them being Nevi'im, although Yeshua found this to be incredibly disrespectful, bold, and blasphemous towards their leader Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe himself couldn't care less. He was so humble. Secondly, we find at the very end of the Parsha, when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, yet again, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bat an eyelash. He did not demand respect or expect respect. It is at that moment that the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu as the most humble person to walk the face of this earth. Va'ish Moshe anav me'on mikol ha'adam asher al pnei ha'adam. And with this being said, Eldad and Medad understood that Moshe Rabbeinu would not mind. Moshe Rabbeinu was mochel on his own kavod entirely. And there's no display of disrespect. The humility, the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu was an implicit license for Eldad and Medad to continue their nevuah. And the Chida draws a parallel to Gemara in Maseches Megillah. And the Gemara asks how Chulda, she's one of the 7 nevi'os, one of the 7 women prophets, how was Chulda able to prophesize in the presence of Yirmiyahu HaNavi? Yirmiyahu was the greatest Nevi'im. And the Gemara answers that Chulda was a relative. She was a Karov of Yirmiyahu. And it was understood that Yirmiyahu would be mochel on his own kavod for his relative Chulda. Had it been somebody else, a different person, a non-relative, maybe Yirmiyahu wouldn't be mochel, but for his own relative, he was a mochel. And just as there was an implicit mechila for a relative, so too, there is an implicit mechila for Moshe Rabbeinu through his humility. That's the understanding of the Chida. Therefore, Eldad and Medad did nothing wrong. It was not a display of arrogance, of gaiva by any means. Based on the story of the Chulda and Yirmiyahu, however, we could perhaps make another suggestion as to why it wasn't an expression of gaiva. Targum Unkelus and the Das HaKeinim explain that Eldad and Medad were actually half-brothers with Moshe Rabbeinu. And when the Torah is given, Klai Yisrael was introduced to the Parsha of Arayos, the prohibitions of illicit relationships. Amram was married to his aunt Yocheved. Amram therefore needed to divorce Yocheved. There is an Isser Erva for a nephew to be with a niece. And he got remarried. Amram got remarried to another woman. Amram had 2 children with this new marriage and this new relationship. After he had Aaron and Miriam Moshe, and he got remarried to somebody else. He had 2 other children. He named them Eldad and Medad. Why? Eldad stands for Al dad, al dod, not my aunt, uncle, not from an aunt. This is a new relationship. I'm not involved in that erva anymore. And made that is me dad. Is this my aunt? Is this my, certainly not. So Eldad and Medad, those names were reflecting his previous relationship, Yocheved. Now he is no longer in that relationship. Either way, we see that Eldad and Medad shared the same father as Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, Amram. They were half-brothers. In fact, the Das Kedem writes that he found the manuscript, the Kuntres, from Rabbi Hillel, that describes how Rabbi Hillel saw the tombstones of Eldad and Medad, on which it stated that they were half-brothers of Aaron HaKohen, and of course then Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Why it mentions Aaron versus Moshe, I don't know, but they were half-brothers of Aaron and Moshe. Now that it's clear that they were relatives of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were Krovim, we can understand now how this was not a disrespect by any means to Moshe Rabbeinu of Eldad and Medad continuing to prophesy. Just like Chulda and Yirmiyahu, they were relatives, there was an implicit mechila here too as well. I think that there's an enchanting message that lies within this story. This small story, a few psukim of Eldad and Medad. Eldad and Medad were not expected to continue the nevuah like the other zakenim. And yet their drive, their ambition, and their desire to cling to their bonus shalom motivated them to do that which they desired, so long as it's not disrespectful, not belittling, and nor demeaning. But when done with great care, sensitivity, and awareness, we must follow our dreams, our drive, and our determination. Have a wonderful Shabbos.